are finishing out our Eastertide sermon series on belonging with a three-week trip into the book of Acts. Last week, we spent some time with Philip. He is one of the lesser-known figures of the Bible, but still an important leader of the early church. Today, we are going to meet a very well-known figure of the Bible, another important leader of the early church. Peter is probably best known for one of his worst moments, the three times he denied Jesus after Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But despite those moments of weakness, Peter was one of the disciples who received an appearance from Jesus after the resurrection. Jesus gave him the opportunity to declare his love three times to balance out that threefold denial. Peter then went on to become the leader of the early church in Jerusalem. He had a special role in ministering to the members of the Jewish community who were also followers of Jesus. Now, it's important to put ourselves back in Peter's time in order to understand why Peter's ministry was so important. We need to remember that most of the earliest followers of Jesus were also faithful Jews, and they intended to remain so. There was no question for church leaders like Peter as to whether God's promise of salvation applied to the Jewish people. The question in the early church was whether God's promise of salvation applied to people who weren't Jews. The question requiring massive argument was not, will the Jews be saved, but will the Gentiles be saved? The earliest followers of Jesus had no idea that God's promise of salvation in Jesus Christ would ever be made available to people outside the Jewish faith. It took leaders like Peter to help the early church draw the circle of God's love wider, making room for people they never expected. Now, the scripture reading we are going to hear today is just a small part of a much larger story, the story of a man named Cornelius. This story is actually the longest narrative in Acts. It spans more than just one chapter. It is 66 verses long. So if we judge solely based on the amount of space that is given to this story, it's clear that we are dealing with a crucial point in the book of Acts. It's a pivot point for the whole book, a turning point in the church's understanding of who they are and who belongs to God. Now, the story begins with Cornelius. We're not going to hear that part read, but for background, Cornelius is a Gentile, a Roman, an army officer who made his living by military occupation. He was an outsider through and through. But Cornelius was also devout. He was a man who gave generously, a man who prayed constantly. He was open to inspiration, open to a vision in which the angel of the Lord came and asked him to send some of his men to a house in Joppa where they would find a man named Peter. And when the story shifts over to Peter, it turns out that he had a vision of his own, a vision that causes him to rethink the dietary laws that have been a matter of survival and identity for him and for the Jewish community for centuries. Peter discovers that God is drawing the circle wider, making space in the early church for things and for people Peter never expected. I'll share more about that story within the sermon. We hear the end of the story now. So listen for the word of God in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God has this way of drawing us toward people we might never expect. There was a UCC daily devotional a few years ago written by the Reverend Mary Ludi. And in it, she told the story of a church. It was a church that had two deacons who had somewhat of a difficult relationship. And that might be putting it mildly. Everyone dreaded the deacons' meetings because of the way those two deacons would just go at each other. The church had a behavioral covenant, and even that didn't stop them. It was bad. Now, that church included communion every week as part of their worship services, and of course, it was the deacons' job to serve communion to the congregation. They did so in pairs according to a set schedule, and it was customary that after each pair had finished serving those who had come to their station for communion, they would turn and serve communion to each other before they put the elements back on the communion table. Now, as you might imagine, those two warring deacons were never paired up on the schedule. No one wanted the fireworks that could explode during deacons' meetings to carry over into worship. But one Sunday morning, as she was serving communion, the chair of deacons had an epiphany. That afternoon, she made a new schedule, and she assigned those two difficult deacons to serve communion with each other every week for 6 months. As you might imagine, those two deacons were less than pleased. But they bit their tongues, and surprisingly, they went along with it. And so every week after they finished serving the congregation, they turned to each other and said, "This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the cup of blessing poured out for you," every week for 6 months. Now, you might be imagining that you know how the story ends, that somehow those two deacons ended up the best of friends, and that's not exactly what happened. They are human, after all. But something did change between them. As Reverend Mary Luty said, you can't offer mercy to an enemy every week and not start to mean it. You can't put healing in someone's hand for months on end without some of that healing rubbing off on you. At the end of their six-month assignment, the two deacons found themselves less at odds. They would even occasionally defer to the other in meetings. They had softened toward each other because they realized that the circle of God's love included them both. And sometimes God draws us to people that we might never expect. Now, Peter had discovered that to be true too. He discovered that one day in Joppa. When he went up to the roof to pray, he fell into a trance and he was given a vision by God. In that vision, God brought together a whole mix of animals, a bunch of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air, and the sheet came down from heaven filled with animals. Some of those animals were ones Peter had spent his whole life working really hard to avoid. And here God was putting them in front of him, both the clean and the unclean. And God was commanding him to kill and eat. Just when Peter thought he was totally clear about what kinds of things were clean and unclean, what was okay and not okay, what was in and what was out, God came along and broke down those barriers and drew the circle wider to include things Peter never expected. And he was puzzled. But then Cornelius's messengers arrived in Joppa. They had been instructed to look for a man named Peter, and they invited Peter to return with them to Cornelius's house. And there, Peter found that Cornelius had already gathered his friends and relatives to greet him and to listen to him preach. But first, Peter and Cornelius talked with each other. And in that conversation, something started to become clear. It's there that we realize that this story isn't just about the conversion of a Gentile. It's also about the conversion of an apostle. Because Cornelius is not the only one who ends up changed in this story. Peter is changed too. When Peter speaks to the crowd gathered at Cornelius's house, he confesses that he has breached Jewish law just by entering this Gentile home, and he is willing to do this because God has given him a vision of something new. God has rearranged his understanding of what is clean and unclean, what is okay and not okay, what is in and what is out. God has come along and broken down barriers and drawn the circle wider to include things and people Peter never expected. Peter realizes that the circle of God's love includes not only Jews, but also Gentiles. He realizes that God shows no partiality. And if God shows no partiality, then the church shouldn't either. Again and again in the book of Acts, the church has to change and adapt in order to keep up with what God is doing in the world. Just when the church starts to get comfortable thinking that they know what is clean and unclean, what is okay and not okay, what is in and what is out, God comes along over and over and breaks down barriers and draws the circle even wider to include things the earliest Christians never expected. To include people the earliest Christians never expected. So why do we think that things will be any different for us today? We as a church, we as Christians today still need to change and adapt in order to keep up with what God is doing in this world. And we need to be ready. Because just when we start to get comfortable, just when we start to think we know what is clean and unclean, what is okay and not okay, what is in and what is out, God will come along and break down any barriers we have tried to put up in order to draw the circle even wider so that more people can know that they belong to God. Part of what it meant to be a Christian in the first century, and part of what it means to be a Christian in the 21st century, is that we need to be ready to make room for more people to belong to God. And we need to make room for people we might never expect, people who think differently from us, people who experience God in different ways or worship in different styles or pray differently than we do. We need to make room for people who are on different sides of political and moral issues, people who vote differently than we do. Because just when we think that we have figured it out, just when we think we are totally clear on who is in and who is out, God will come along and break down any barriers that we try to put up and draw the circle even wider, so that more and more people can know that they belong to God. That is the beauty and the challenge of being people of faith, trying to change and adapt in order to keep up with what God is doing in the world today. So, friends, the invitation for us is to not get too comfortable, because sooner or later, God will come along and draw the circle even wider than we could ever imagine, so that more and more people might know that just like us, they belong to God. And that is good news for them and for us.